Houston, we have a problem. I'm sorry. I'm super sorry.
It's Houston, we've had a problem. See, everybody misquotes that.
We keep having problems. How's that? Brian and Bobby Houston at it again. They couldn't give it up. They've announced that they are starting a new church. Okay?
So I think Brian Adams wrote a song about this. The lyrics are na 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 na. Nah. Something like that.
Yes. I'm so okay. So for those of you who have been living in a Christian with their Christian head in the sand, Brian and Bobby Houston are the former pastors of Hillsong Church in Australia. That Hillsong Church, a worship space transforming church, mega church, lots of money, Hillsong University campuses all over the world that siphon money all over the place under the table so that your money goes to God knows where without you ever knowing. That Hillsong Church. So I guess I don't know if the money's run out or if there's no such thing as enough money.
I'm going to go with that one.
But apparently they are tired of being in retirement. So they're going to start off, I believe it's going to start off as an online-only ministry and then perhaps move into the real world at some point. Of course, Brian Houston was forced to resign as the senior pastor of Hillsong Church after allegations of inappropriate contact with two women, as well as allegations of covering up his father's crimes, as well as allegations of misusing church funds for multiple plane trips and personal expenses and such. Bobby Houston had some similar financial allegations put against her as well. This is not a new thing. A while ago, Pastor Mark Driscoll from the famously reformed Mars Hill Church had to step down in disgrace because of spiritual abuse. In his case, I don't think he had to plant a church. There was actually a little church in the middle of nowhere that said, "Hey, Mark, even though you're a jerk, we love your kind of jerkiness, so come on over and be our pastor."
See, that's sad. Mark Driscoll, at least, I mean, I think he had, like, the chops of personality to get away with that kind of nonsense. I don't know that Brian Houston has anything to really recommend him in terms of personality. I don't know that anybody's going to, like, people aren't going to, like, leave Hillsong to go to Brian Houston's new church because it's Brian Houston.
There's no discounting legacy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Brian Houston will always be the guy who transformed modern worship and brought a whole different style of church to, like, the old hymns and campfire song style church. And so regardless of what his former followers are going to do, there is always going to be the more generally thinking crowd that is always kind of like you and I, just kind of keeping our fingers on the pulse of what's happening across the broader spectrum of Christendom, you know? I think there's a multitude of people who would like to think of themselves as, hey, I could hang out a shingle and transform the face of the modern church. Let me learn how this guy did it, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's where he's going to succeed. That's where Mark Driscoll also succeeded. Mark Driscoll was Jordan Peterson before Jordan Peterson was the big thing on the internet. You know, I'm a man and men should be men and men should be rightfully angry about the feminization of the church and blah, 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 blah. Right. And that was Mark Driscoll's whole spiel, you know, until he decided to start abusing women, you know, behind closed doors.
You know, as is written by the bard, you know, methinks she doth protest too much, you know.
Exactly.
And the thing about this that annoys me is because, like, what Brian Houston did to transform modern worship was to turn the church into turn Jesus into a candy bar and then sell it and to figure out all these great ways of marketing Jesus as a product, not like just by actually building, like, the church as it's described in scripture. Yeah. And it's not to say that like the way Hillsong does worship is necessarily bad. You know, like the whole slow music never resolving to the root chord of the key you're in. You know, mm-hmm. that pisses me off as a musician, but some yeah. people really enjoy it. And I don't want to say that you're wrong for enjoying that, but
they are.
You're definitely right. wrong.
Right. My big thing with Hillsong as a transform words is hard, mm-hmm. transformative entity, is that they made the worship music portion of service the only part that matters, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to have this awesome 30-minute, 40-minute, two-hour-long worship music session, and then we're just going to kind of sprinkle in 20 minutes of rhetorical nonsense, like Joel Osteen, like like Creflo Dollar, like name your prosperity preacher of choice. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be rich. You don't have enough faith is the only reason you're not financially prosperous. So take 2 hours of music, sprinkle in 20 minutes of nonsense, and you have yourself a formula for a growing church. And if you don't believe it, just look at all the mega churches that have popped up in America in the last 30 years that followed the exact same recipe.
Yeah, because it like that kind of thing, it turns worship not into an act of devotion, but into an emotional experience.
Right.
And the problem with making it an emotional experience, to me, is that emotions are a thing felt, not done.
Right.
So it that kind of thing, it turns worship into a passive action. You just have to receive what these people on stage are kicking at you. You don't actually have to do anything. And that's, right. and maybe it's because like, you know, I've gone to a liturgical church and I really enjoyed that process, you know,
sure.
The church I go to now, I'm like, there's some elements of that, but it's like there is something that you have to bring to the table.
This particular formula for church growth inverts the mission, right?
Yeah.
It turns the mission into, we need to get butts in the door so that people can throw money in the offering so that we can make the beast bigger. You know, we can make this machine bigger. That's not the model, right?
Mm-hmm.
The what Jesus taught us by actually living his life is that the point is to go out. The point is to get your sandals on and get to stepping and reach people out there and figure out what's going on in their lives. Are they sick? Are they dead? Do they need resurrection? Do they need physical resurrection? Do they need spiritual resurrection? Figure out what's going on in their life and meet the gosh darn need. And so my problem with the megachurch movement is it fundamentally turned the church into the opposite of what it was supposed to be.
With Brian Houston, I mean, like we look at church sizes, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, we see, you know, church attendance as a declining thing. My question for Brian Houston is like, okay, so your little new ministry, this is going to be online only. Like, what are you trying to accomplish? What niche are you trying to fill? That's a legitimate ministry need that cannot be done. Well, maybe by Hillsong already or Willow Creek or any of those big churches with resources, or perhaps, you know, medium churches that have resources to do these things online. I'm like, what can you possibly do on your own that's going to fulfill that need? Because like, you don't have a church around you anymore. It's like, if he really wanted this to be his mission, he would go to a church that's trying to do something like this and do it through them. But that's not right. what he's trying to do. He's trying to do it for himself. I see this as nothing more than like that continuation of that selfishness. Like, I just like, this isn't, I don't think, where we need to be going.
Exactly. This is definitely taking us in the wrong direction. At the very least, like you said, at the very least, if he's going to throw his hat into the ring again, it should be with the intent of, I see some area, and I don't care what that mm-hmm. area is, I see an area that's not being serviced by the current church. I'm going to go look. I'm going to go serve that missing piece. But that's not it. Online ministry is saturated, just seems so understating it. Like, if you mm-hmm. go to iTunes, you go to Apple. No, it's not iTunes anymore. It's Apple Podcasts. Everybody who's anybody in the Christian world, like, if you've sold 5 books, you have a podcast. You're reaching out to some sort of online niche. There isn't a niche out there on the web that there isn't some pastor with a 20-minute meaningless message of to be how to be your best version of you and have your purpose-driven life. not only is the pastor giving that message, but the hundreds of people who've been inspired by that pastor have a podcast giving that same message, or a YouTube channel, or a blog, or a pamphlet you can buy on Amazon, or an online course you can take. You know, there's nothing new that Brian Houston is going to offer that isn't already out there in abundance.
Yeah. And I'm heavily dubious of online ministry, you know, to begin with, because I think a fundamental aspect of, you know, humans being creatures, is that we need physically other humans to be around. Yeah. We need to learn how to live in community with people that we don't like, that we violently disagree with. That's a skill that needs to be learned. Going online for church it can only ever be that seeker sensitive thing, because it never challenges you to be part of the church, to do the church, to be the church.
Right. It never challenges you because you're never held accountable.
Plus it turns it into more or less a consumer commodity. And you know, and I'm kind of with like Jesus flipping the tables, you know, it's like, this should be a house of prayer, you know, but house is the first thing. It should be a house for us all to be in.
And listen to me, watcher or listener in YouTube or podcast world, I can hear your objection already. But Mark, but Scott, what about your YouTube ministry? People, this is not a ministry. This is Mark and I getting online, trying to perform a service for churches, trying to answer the question, why are churches less and less relevant over time? Mark goes to church. He leads in a church. I go to church. We have real relationship with real people where we lock arm in arm with each other to go do some real world good, right? To go feed hungry people and house homeless people and bring the gospel to people who don't know Jesus. This, it may be like in some quasi para form, weird abstraction form, be a ministry, but I don't think of it that way. I don't think Mark, you think of it that way.
No, like this is just, you know, my place to be an idiot on a soapbox.
Exactly right. And we think there are people who think similarly to us, who want to know they're not on a lonely island somewhere. And we think there are people who think differently than us, who are ready to pounce on us. And we're okay with all of that. Because ultimately, this is not where we're trying to do the work of the cross. This is where we're trying to get a message through to others who think that they are star-spangled awesome in doing the work of the cross in all forms. Okay, but let's move on. Because I did want to make one important point before we're done here. There's a thing that happens with celebrity Christians that doesn't happen with the rest of us. Nobody does this for you and I, Mark. We don't rate, okay?
Yay! But
when the Brian Houstons and Bobby Houstons and the Mark Driscolls of the world and the Franklin Grahams, when they do something wrong, the instinct is for everybody to go, well, let's take all that they've done wrong and all they've done right, and let's put them on the scales and see where this balances out. And every time that happens, it always balances out the same way. Well, look at all the people they've affected over their lives. Of course, the net positive far outweighs the net negative, and we should give them a pass. But the you and me's of the world, we never get that. Like, the minute we admit to sin, there is judgment. I'm LGBTQ, judgment. I've gotten divorced, judgment. I was caught lying or cheating, judgment. There is judgment, and there's usually the left foot of fellowship, as my friend calls it. Right?
The left foot of fellowship, awesome.
Yeah. And so, like, there's this hypocrisy that happens that is on display for the world to see. That celebrity Christians, people with influence and money and power, who do it in the name of Christ, get a free pass that nobody else gets.
Yeah. And I mean, the Apostle Paul was talking at one of his books that he wrote, or I should say letters. But he's saying, it's like, look, yeah, you might have somebody, you know, preaching, you know, for completely selfish means, but at least Christ is being preached if they're doing it right.
Yeah.
And that's just like, that's a, like, I'm going to choose to look at the one good that's come out of this, and it's not excusing any of the bad. When we do that whole like calculus in our head, like, well, if I take all the good you've done and all the bad you've done and I kind of weigh it, it's like, well, no, that's called utilitarianism. Yeah. And it's a bad philosophy, because as long as you can eke out a net positive, you can use it to justify any number of horrors done. And that's not good. I mean, that's just, that is not the way Christians should be thinking, period.
All right. So like Mark and I have like, we've really tried to turn a corner and really at the end of this, talk about fixes in a new way each time we talk about fixes. So I'd like to kind of give you this word picture this week. So we just talked about kind of like these unfair scales, right? Mm-hmm. Celebrities, Christian celebrities get one kind of scale, and then the rest of us don't even get a scale. And I think the fix is this. We need to either burn the scales, right? On the one hand, we can just burn the scales and say nobody gets a scale. Everybody just gets judgment. Jesus died on the cross in propitiation. Look that word up. But Jesus died on the cross to take our judgment, right? The great exchange, right? So that's one option. We can go there. Like, we can burn the scales and just say judgment to everybody. What is it? Like the dragon from Mulan? He kind of gets mad. He's like, dishonor on you and dishonor on you. We can go that way. Or we can believe what the Bible has to say already, that we're all sinners. We're all sinners, every single one of us. We all have something in the closet that we don't like to show each other on Sunday morning. Anger in our hearts, or whether we look lustfully at a woman, or whether we have a gambling addiction. We are all sinners. Maybe something as simple as, you know, every time we wrong somebody, we refuse to say we're sorry and that we're wrong. You know, that's pride. That is the, you know, that is the sin that pretty much explains all other sins. We're all sinners. Can we just agree together that we all need the same grace? Like instead of accepting that everybody gets judgment, can we just accept that everybody gets grace? Brian and Bobby and Mark, we don't have to judge them into oblivion, right? We don't have to judge them into the point where they are living homeless in the streets. And we also don't need to raise them up to be icons again, right? We can just say, hey, you've done your thing and you've changed the Christian world. And that's great. You've made your mistakes and nobody has thrown you in jail. Nobody's thrown you under the bus. But it would be really nice if you would no longer tarnish the good name of Jesus and just move along.
I think that's about all we can really ask for out of these people.
That's all I'm saying is there's nothing to see here, Brian and Bobby Houston. Move along. All right, we're Church is Lame. For those of you watching this, you may have thought, wow, like Mark and Scott really have it in for the church. And we don't. We love the church. We serve in church. We want to see churches do great. But we have no doubt that things like Brian and Bobby Houston trying to come back from their hiatus, let's call it, creates more negative press than it creates positive press. And it's part of what makes people go, if these are the people that are allowed to lead churches, then I'd rather have no part of that. And so we think it's important to collect these kind of stories so that when church leaders ask the question, why isn't the church relevant anymore? Here you go. So if you have something to say, by all means, go to YouTube and leave a comment, or go to your favorite podcast player, leave us a rating and a review. Or if you really want to have it out in long form, shoot an email over to us at churchislamepodcast@gmail.com.
And with that, go in peace. Serve the Lord. Amen.